Your foreign policy objectives, what are they?
Well, Estonia's foreign policy objectives is, of course, to safeguard the independence and sovereignty of the republic. And we feel that the best way to do it, to have it, is to have a strong bonds of alliance with our friends and partners, strong transatlantic unity between Europe and US and European Union unity. Mm-hmm.
And how do you find that process right now? There have been a lot of challenges to that unity, certainly since 2016, certainly since the U.S. came face-to-face with Russia's meddling and interference, which you and Estonia have been familiar with for many years. So how do you find that process of maintaining that unity right now?
With regard to the Russian policies, we have been quite united. I think we have been surprisingly good in keeping up our unity. When you think of the common response to what we have agreed within the European Union, how to respond to the annexation of Crimea through the sanctions, and we have kept them already 5 years, and it seems it will be continue like that, as well as the transatlantic unity. There is plenty of common understanding about Russia on both shores of Atlantic.
Do you get the sense that this whole concern that came up for certainly the U.S. and for other countries, you know, I think there is France, there's been Germany and Spain, and other countries have experienced what they call interference as well. Do you think this is a passing thing, a phase, or something that will go away, or something that needs concentrated, solid transatlantic foreign policy dedication to deal with moving forward?
I think that we need to have a solid policy on that, and we call it like increasing resilience to withstand with all kind of challenges that are coming. Lots of it is related to the technological developments, like the IT, cyber sphere, but also new media, social media. The events have demonstrated how easy it was, perhaps still is, to manipulate public discourse on social media, for instance. So we have to be first to be aware that there are these threats, and then how to respond to that. So I think we are in the process of still learning. But we also are making efforts to define where the problems are.
Estonia has been in the forefront of all of this for a good while, and it's interesting. You're a small country size wise. I think twice the size of New Jersey or something like that, and you have a population here of 1.3 million. So, but you're teaching the giants of the world something that, frankly, the rest of us don't do very well, and that is deal with this kind of adversity that you've been doing. So as you talk to your transatlantic counterparts and other partners around the world, what advice do you offer for dealing with this phase that we're in, as you say, with the cyber, with the disinformation, with the social media manipulation? What advice do you offer them?
Well, one is there are like two sides of it. One is technical. It's all about cyber defense, better defenses to our IT systems. We have been working on that for many, many years, and perhaps been one of the pioneers on really working on cyber defense. We have here NATO Cyber Defense Center. So there are nations that are coming together, like-minded nations, to work on these issues. And then kind of conceptual things like to how we cooperate, how much can we exchange information, do we have necessary channels where we do exchange information, do we have platforms for cooperation. So there is a need of collective response, and so we feel that the future belongs to more kind of bigger info exchange, getting people together, nations together to discuss and respond.
Mm. And how are they responding to that message from you, the U.S., the rest of the other parts of Europe, your partners? How are they responding to that message? Is this something that a lot of people say, well, we need to think about this. We need to do this, that, and the other before we do make any moves. But, you know, this kind of thing happens very quickly. And sometimes it happens seemingly without the knowledge of the target country, as it was the case with the U.S. So how are the people, the countries, and the leaders that you're talking to about this problem responding to your advice?
Well, the best way to understand the problem is first-hand experience. So the experience is the best teacher, and more nations have been experiencing these kind of threats in a very direct manner. And that is pushing also political leaders, opinion leaders, to deal with this issue. So it's not just something they hear from us, but it comes from their own experiences already. So it's rather like exchange of experience. And we have seen lots of curiosity, interest about these issues, willingness to exchange, and not only European countries or America, but also more broadly. I mean, cybersecurity, for instance, is a global issue. The cyber threats are a global phenomenon. We have been in touch with very many countries around the world because we are now running the campaign for our UN Security Council seat for the years 2020-21. And when we travel around, you know, in different continents, in Asia, Africa, Latin America, there is plenty of interest because they feel the same, that they have been targeted by cybercrime, some sort of malign influence from actors that mm-hmm. difficult to attribute. So we have been discussing these issues with many countries. But most importantly, those who are allies who are like-minded, with them, of course, we would like to enter into a more substantial exchange. Mm-hmm. And we learn from their experience as well. So it's not one-way street in any way.
Mm-hmm. What are your other foreign policy objectives aside from what you've outlined? There have to be a number of them. And, you know, as we all know, when it comes to the security of a country, it's not just about the military or not just about the borders and those kinds of things, but it's economics and it's, you know, the population and many other things. So in dealing with your foreign policy agenda, how do you stack or rank or list the items that are most important?
In purely foreign politics, very important for us is the global rules-based international order that needs to be preserved. We are a small country, and we are dependent on the viability of the world order that is based on international law, international norms, that every country has to really stick to what we have collectively signed up. That's a very important field. Then, of course, you mentioned economy, the trade. We are very open, small, open economy. We have virtually no tariffs whatsoever. We trade in a very liberal manner, and we export most of what we produce. So we are export-dependent country, and the health of global trade institutions, the rules and regulations are important for us. We are seeking constantly for new markets for our companies, and we are one of the advocates of the liberal world trade.
Speaking of all of these things that you've mentioned, where is Estonia going? Where do you want to go? Where are you headed in the next 5, 10 years? What are your objectives designed to achieve, your foreign policy objectives designed to achieve in the next few years for Estonia?
We have been quite well established here in Europe in this geostrategic location where we belong. I mean, we have good friends and neighbors in the Nordic Baltic region, in Europe in general, strong relationship with the U.S. What we would like to achieve more is to really discover kind of more wider world, more further away markets for our companies, to make Estonia more well known. We feel that sometimes people still asking what is Estonia, the main brand of Estonia has been, and it has served us well, is the digital country that is having digital e-governance. Whenever we go, this kind of image of Estonia is already there, and they know and they are interested. But we feel we are still kind of halfway to make us known globally, so to say. We try to make us more known in spreading our embassy networks a bit further, to open new diplomatic posts, but it's not easy for a small country like Estonia. And also through the UN Security Council, because it's an important body that is dealing with very, very crucial issues in the global stage. And being once member there would also create not only our, it's just not expression of our interest towards the world affairs, but also creates a new interest towards Estonia.
Mm-hmm. How was your campaign towards the UN Security Council going? You've mentioned that twice in our conversation, so clearly it's important to you. How is the campaign going?
Well, the Estonian government is really 100% behind the campaign, and we have done a very active campaign in past few years. So we are now in the final stages, because the election is already on the 7th of June in New York, and we feel confident that this has been a good campaign. Well, of course, the result of it will be clear in 2 weeks' time, but whatever the result is, we already have won the relationships what we have achieved through that.
Mm-hmm. What do your citizens tell you about your policies? What do they say? What are the messages that you've gotten from the electorate, and two, from the representatives of the people that you deal with here domestically? What have they said to you about Estonia's direction in terms of its foreign policies?
Well, Estonian people expect us to work cooperatively with our allies. They value very highly our relationship with the U.S. They would like to see that this relationship being nurtured by our side. They feel strongly about Estonia being a European nation. And they also would like to see us working even more actively on the trade and the trade promotion, business promotion. Very often when we go to parliament or to speak to deputies, they ask what else can you do in order to open the new markets for Estonian companies. So there are both like political but also very practical sides that they are expecting. But there are always high expectations towards the foreign service, because we are the ones who are opening doors for the others.
Mm. We've talked a lot about your foreign policy here in Estonia. How is the foreign policy of others, like the U.S. and maybe even countries that don't appear to be so friendly towards Estonia? How does the foreign policy of others impact your decisions on what kind of foreign policy to pursue?
Foreign policy is never easy to plan in advance, because it is happening in exchange. There is always something happening that we have to react to, and as a small country, we have to be proactive on one hand, but you know, on the other hand, we also have to react to lots of developments in the world stage. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep our eyes and ears open, really, because being a small country, one has to be very well aware of what's happening in the global stage. So American foreign policy these days is a very forceful one. It is clear that the America First foreign policy has brought already forceful points that have been made on the world stage by the U.S. government. That is also pushing the others to react to that, and we try to see where are the synergies, because we always would like to work hand in hand with our allies.
Is this reaction a good one that you've seen to the America First, or certainly the shift in American foreign policy?
We have entered into the stage of great power competition more clearly than earlier. And that is having its clear aims, of course, to safeguard the American interest when we speak about the America First foreign policy. As regards to us, then, we feel that it's very important to uphold this kind of transatlantic alignment, mm-hmm. that we will take care of each other's interests and concerns, as well as to do it in a cooperative manner.
Article 5.
Article 5, too. That's just the backbone of our relationship.
That's excellent. What haven't I asked you about, sir, that you think is important that we should discuss today?
Excuse me?
Is there something that I haven't asked you about that you would like to discuss that you think is important to talk about? This is just a way of saying I don't want to end the interview if you have some other things you'd like to talk about. So I want to ask if there is anything else on your mind that you would like to share.
I have plenty on my mind. I just...
All right, so we have a few minutes left. So
the more you go, the further the issues are. Mm-hmm. The round will be bigger and bigger.
What are some of the other things on your mind?
These days... we are, as I think everybody else in these days, making lessons learned from the European elections that just happened yesterday. What direction, you know, what it gives to the European Union in the medium longer run. As you know, this time election was about what kind of Europe we would like to see. Are we satisfied with the European integration, what we have achieved, or should we go further? Or on the contrary, should we kind of roll it back? But it seems to me that these elections have brought some sort of stability in the European affairs, that I don't see much revolution. Slight alignments in the European Parliament in terms of political representation, but generally speaking, the result was, in our eyes, at least a constructive one.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I saw how the elections projections came out this morning, and they seemed to suggest that the whole idea of nationalism is still there, but it didn't grow as much as some people had thought or projected that it would. Is that what you got from this election? These elections?
Yes, it is early to make the final judgments, but it seems that this is the case, that the more nationalist movements and political forces within the European Union, those who emphasize the nation state and the interest of a nation state within the Union, have not won so much as the predictions were, as they wished to. And there is another way of thinking of Europe is as a, of course, Europe of nation states, but to that are not so much directed on preserving the national interests, rather to seek the common interests. And these forces kind of prevailed.
Mm-hmm. From your own perspective, what is it that you would most like to see happen in the near term in terms of Estonia's foreign policy objectives?
I'd like to see a clear reconfirmation of the transatlantic unity, particularly in the upcoming London leaders meeting towards the end of this year, where NATO leaders are gathering together and discussing the state of the affairs in the alliance. That this leaders' meeting would send out a strong message of solidarity and unity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And very last thing, something else you'd like to add?
Thank you for meeting me.
Thank you, sir. It's been a great pleasure, and I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.